Yeah.
Okay, good morning. Sorry for the slightly delayed start here. I wanted to thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Tammuz, Uncle Mike Holtzman, in honor of all who keep the Daf Yomi going. Okay, so we're going to pick up today at the Mishnah on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. Maybe we'll wait a moment for the technical aspect here. Get started.
Yeah.
Okay, so says the Mishnah, top line, Memirim min atzon ala bakar, umin abakar ala atzon. So when we talk about, we talk about making a tumura, so someone attempts to make a substitution. So the idea is, as we know, that both of them become, in other words, the one animal remains with its kedusha and one gets additional kedusha. So that would be true even if the animals don't match each other. So if, for example, you had an animal that was a sheep and you tried to substitute it by being, let's say, a bull, so then that would still work. In other words, that even though those aren't the same type of carbon, and the Brisker Rav explains, for all of the things that we're talking about here, this would be even if it's a kind of carbon that's not eligible for that. So let's say, for example, if you have a chatas, and a chatas, as we know, needs to be a female animal, and if you're going to say that this animal should substitute for the chatas, and you're doing it on a male, so you might think that should not become a tamura, because we're going to see that case in the mission in a moment, but you would think that might not become a tamura, because it's one thing if you're trying to substitute an animal that could be that kind of carbon, but even if it's not that kind of carbon, so what we learn, that's the Brisker Rav understands the chiddush of this Mishnah, is that even if the things don't match, that or the additional chiddush of this Mishnah, that even if the things don't match, that we still have this concept of accomplishing tmura. So tzon ala bakar, min abakar ala tzon, min akvasim ala izim, within the category of tzon, we know tzon is either a keves or an aze, so it's so if you're going to switch a keves for an aze, I mean the izim ala kvasim or an aze for a keves, in all those cases it's tamura. Min azcharim ala kevus, min azcharim ala zcharim, that if the primary animal, the one that you're trying to substitute for, is a zachar, and you do it with an akeva or vice versa, that tamura works. Min atamimim al bali mumim, and this is true if you try to substitute you try to substitute an animal that's unblemished on an animal that has a mum, which is one case where you're upgrading it, but even min balei mumin ala tamimim, even if you're trying to substitute a bal mum in place of a tam, one that's already whole, nonetheless, in all of these cases, tamura is accomplished, shenemar, as it says. Now this pasuk is really explaining that last one, which is the tamimim on the bali mumim on tamimim. How do I know it? Says the Mishnah, shenemar, because the pasuk says lo yachlifenu v'lo yomir oso tov bera ara betov. So this is the pasuk in Vayikra Chav Zayin, which is our main pasuk about tamura. So it says lo yachlifenu v'lo yomir oso tov bera ara betov v'im hamir yomir behema bebehema. But if you go ahead and try to substitute one animal for another, that they're going to be kodesh. So what do you see? You see in there that it says tov bera ara betov. So this is telling you that ra would be an animal that has a mum. So you could substitute an animal that has a mum on an animal that doesn't. So in other words, you have an animal, even though it's a tamim animal, you try to substitute it with a bal mum. Nonetheless, the bal mum gets the, obviously it doesn't work, but the bal mum gets the kedusha of tamura. Or similarly, tov bara or rabbi tov. So tov bara would be the case where you try to do a tamim animal on a balmum, or rabbi tov is where you try to do a balmum on a tamim animal. So you see from the pasuk that it takes effect no matter what. Now says the Mishnah something which we're going to have to learn in the Gemara to understand how the Mishnah knows it. Veizeu tov bara. So it says, but what is this case where you can substitute a valid animal for an animal that has a mum? So in other words, the animal that was designated for the carbon has a mum, and you're taking an unblemished animal and you're converting it into a tamura. When does that work? Balei mumim shekadam hekdeshon es mumon. That only works if the animal that you're trying to substitute, how is it that you have an animal that is ra, that is bad, that has a mum, is only if you had the, is only if you were makdish the animal, it was a valid carbon, and then it got a mum. So in that case, that's how you have tov bara, that you're substituting one animal for an animal that has a mum. How did it get a mum? Only if it got a mum after you were makdish it. But if, let's say, for example, someone was makdish an animal that had a mum already, so we know what's the halacha then. That is not a valid carbon, and it's only going to be by the kabbayis. So actually, in this case, we're talking about where he was makdish it for that the money should be used for a carbon. Technical distinction, but in other words, that's technically what our mission is covering. So the idea would be that if all it has is kedushas damim or damim lemizbeach, then in that case the tmura doesn't work. So if someone is makdish a baal mum, then that becomes, that has kedushas damim, and you cannot make a tmura out of that. The only time you can make a tmura, that the power of the tmura transfers to the new animal, is if the way you became a baal mum was it was given to hektish in proper form, it became a valid carbon, it got kedushas haguf like any regular carbon, then it got a mum. Now obviously at this point you're supposed to be poda, you redeem it and bring another animal, but even while it's in that mum status, before you've redeemed it, it has the power to make another animal into a tmura. So we're gonna see in the Gemara how the Mishnah knows that. Okay, says the Gemara, Minahani Mili. How do I know this that we said in the beginning? That everything is interchangeable. If you have a tzon, you could do it on a bakar on a tzon, a male on a female on a male, all these cases. Says the Gemara, Minan Emili, how do I know the Tanur Rabbanim? Because we learned in a braisa as follows. Behema. So it says, so this is the pasuk, I read it before, but it's saying that you're not machlof, you're not mamir, tov bara, rabbitov, vim hamir, yamir, behema, bebehema. But if you go ahead, it says don't substitute it. But if you go ahead and you do substitute behema, bebehema, an animal for another animal, vahayahu, smaraso, yeakodesh. So presumably these words are extra. Because the pasuk could have said, "Don't swap it and don't swear and don't substitute it." Rabatov tovara rabatov v'im hamir yamir. But if you go ahead and substitute, v'ayahurus marasa yakodesh, you don't need to say behema behema. So says the Gemara, mikan. So we see from this, shemamir min atzon ala bakar, umin abakar ala atzon, min akvasim ala izim, umin izim ala akvasim, umin azcharim ala nekevus, umin nekevus ala azcharim, umin balimumin ala tmimim, min atmimim ala balimumin. So he says, you see from this that it says behema behema, one animal for another animal. It doesn't matter. It could be any type of animal. It could be a female, a male, a mum, a tamim. It doesn't matter. Now, mind you, the Bryce includes in here bali mumim on tamimim and tamimim on bali mumim. That our Mishnah said is technically speaking learned from tov bara rabatov. But the idea is behema behema tells you that any type of animal can be substituted for any other type of animal, and that's how you know that you could substitute a kevis for an aes or a bucker for its own, etc. So, says the Braisa, yachol afilu kadam mum lehektation. I might think that when you're able to do tamura from one animal onto an animal that is already the primary animal, the existing animal is a bal mum, that would be true even if this baal mum was consecrated to Hegdish when it already had a mum. Says the Gemara, Tamalomar lo yachifenu v'lo yomiro so tov bara ra betov. So he says that the pasuk says you shouldn't switch it, tov bara ra betov, vezeu tov bara. What does it mean when it says that you switch a good one for one that has a baal mum? It's talking dafka bali mumim shekodim hektation is mumon. It's talking only about a baal mum where first you are makdish it as a valid carbon, it got kedushas haguf, and only then it got a mum. That's when it works. So the Gemara seems to be bringing a source, or the Braisa seems to be bringing a source for the halacha that we learned in our Mishnah, that when can you swap out, when can a baal mum animal make another animal into a tamura? Only if it got its mum after your makdish, but not if you were makdish originally. But it's not clear how the Braisa learns it out. So ask the Gemara, my Talmudah, exactly what was the way by which the Braisa learned out this particular point, that the animal that if you were makdish and it was only makdish l'kedushas damim because it had a mum originally, that it does not have the power to create a tamura. So Amar Abaya says, Neimakra, let the pasuk say, lo yachlifenu v'lo yomir oso tov bara ora bo. So Abaya says, the pasuk could have written, don't switch it, don't exchange it. By the way, we'll get into today. We'll talk about this. Like, what's the difference? Is it lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir oso? They kind of mean the same thing. Yeah. So we'll talk about why it says both languages. So let's just ignore that for the moment. So it says tov. It could have said tov bira, that you don't switch a good animal bira, meaning that you would switch a good animal for balmum ora bo, or that you would switch a bad animal, meaning a balmum, for the animal that's already there. So that would have told you, had it said that. So it could have said rabo. If it would have said rabo, what would I have understood it to mean? It would mean that a balmum could be substituted for another animal, whether that animal was a tamim or a balmum itself. So betov achrina lomali. So what do I need? Another tov? In other words, tov bara or rabo. Once you've said tov bara, so I know that we're dealing with unblemished and a blemished. So why do I need to say betov again? I could have just said o rabo. So betov achrina lomali. Why do I need another tov? Shemar mina tov meikaro osetmura ra meikaro ein osetmura. To say as follows. That that when the animal is good from the beginning, osetmura, that meaning at some point it was a valid animal that had kedushas aguf. I'll explain this in a moment. That if at some point it had kedushas aguf, that's fine. But if it was ra meikaro, ein osetmura. But if you had an animal that from the very beginning of its hektish experience it was a balmum, then you wouldn't have it. So how do I really know this? So this is an interesting. This is the way I understand this is an interesting limud, which is saying as follows, that it could have said ora bo, and that would have told you that you can substitute a balmum, whether for another balmum or for a tumim. So we're not actually, that's how we would have understood it if it said ra bo. We're not actually changing from that, because ultimately that's going to be, according to Abaya, that's going to be the halacha, that if you give a balmum, it could substitute for another balmum or for a tamim, but it adds the word tov. So the word tov is just coming to tell you that there has to be some case where an animal needs to be unblemished. And so what we're understanding from this is as follows. It's a little bit of a complicated limud. So we're saying that when it says ra betov, it's coming to tell you that when can you give a balmum animal. It's not only betov, not only for a tamim. You could do it also for a balmum. You could give a balmum for a balmum, but only if that balmum didn't start its hektish life as a balmum. Only if that balmum used to be tov. So the word tov is not saying. So when it says ra betov, it's not saying that you can only give a balmum for a tamim. You could give a balmum for a tamim, or you could give a balmum for a balmum that used to be a tamim, but you cannot give a balmum for something that was always a balmum from the beginning. Okay, so that's ra betov. The Gemara was actually trying to figure out how I know tov bara. So we're saying, when is it bara that you could give a tamim for a balmum? Is only just like the case of ra betov was talking about, where it was originally a tamim. So too when it says tov bara is talking about a ra that used to be a tamim. So a little bit of a complicated limud, but the idea being that that the word tov, the fact that the pasuk used the word tov when it didn't necessarily need that word, tells you that there's something that needs to be tov, that needs to be without a mum. And what we're learning is what needs to be without a mum is not that you can't substitute for an animal that's a balmum. You can, as long as that balmum at some point was a tov, at some point in its hektish life was a tamim, and therefore that you could do. So what are we coming out? We're coming out according to so Abaya actually is discussing three cases, but we're going to see that he agrees in a fourth case as well. So what are those cases? So I'll take a step back. The way I understand this Gemara is you theoretically could have six scenarios. What we're saying is you could have a case where you're substituting a tamim, a valid animal, for another valid animal, or for a balmum that became a balmum in the hektish, or for a balmum that was always a balmum. So those are three cases. Or you could be having the same scenario where you have the ra that you're substituting for a tov, for a animal that's a tumim now. You could be substituting a baal mum for an animal that used to be a tumim and now became a baal mum, in other words, while it's in hekdesh. Or you could be substituting a baal mum for something that was always a baal mum from the very moment it was introduced to hekdesh, it was a baal mum. So what we're learning is that from the word tov, the added word tov tells you, you cannot do a tumura in either case on an animal that, in other words, it has to be, even when it's a ra, when it's a baal mum, it has to have been tov at some point. So we're left now, we've knocked out of the six, we've knocked out two. So now we're left with four scenarios. One is where you substitute a good for a good, it's still good, a good for a bad, for a baal mum that used to be good, or a baal mum for a good, or a baal mum for a baal mum that used to be good but is no longer good. So those are the four cases. So we've gone from six to four. Now, I'm telling you four, but Abaya actually didn't discuss in anything he said so far, he didn't discuss a case of a good for a good. We're going to see, because Abaya understands that you don't need a pasuk to tell that to you. But that's going to be a detail in what we're going to learn in a moment. But the basic idea, which Abaya and Rava actually agree about, is that the additional word tov tells you that something needs to be good. And what is that something? It's a baal mum today, as long as it used to be tov, it used to be a tumim in hekdesh, that you could do tamura with. But if it was always a baal mum from the very moment, the word tov tells you that that does not work. Which is the halacha of our Mishnah at the end. We said, ve'ezeu tov bara, is bali mumun shekot mehekdeshen es mumun. That when do we say you could do tumura with a good animal for a bad animal, or a bad animal for that matter, is talking about when the bad animal that you're substituting is the primary, is where its mum came after you were makdish it. Okay, so that's Abaya's halacha, and that's really the source. That word tov is the source. Rava is going to say a different limud, a little bit of a different limud. It's actually the same limud, but he's going to learn the fourth case differently. But in order, we've basically proven our point from the mission at this point, but we're going to continue. Rava Amar Rava says, Tarvayu tov yiture miyasri. So Abaya had said that it could have said, that the pasuk could have said, tov bera orav bo, meaning that the second tov is good. Rava saying, no, you could have gotten rid of both tovs. Im kain, you could have written, nechtov krad, the pasuk could have said, lo yachli fenov lo yamir oso, you shouldn't exchange it or substitute it, bera orav bo, that you shouldn't exchange it, meaning an animal that's tamura with a baal mum, or an animal that is the primary animal that is a baal mum with anything else. So lamali lemichto tavayu tov. So why do I need two tovs? So unlike Abaya, who saw only the second tov as extra, Rava says I have two tovs to deal with. So Rava says chad tov afilu betov nami. Or one second, let's just see the gersa here. Afilu tov betov. So the way the Shita learns is that one time it's written tov is to tell you that even if you swap afilu tov betov nami kimamir lucky, that even if someone were to take a tumim animal and try to substitute it for another tumim animal, that hu tmaraso yeh kodesh, that would apply and he would get malkus for being over on a lav because you're not supposed to do it. So says Rava, I use one of the toves to tell me that good for good, you get malchus. Continues Rava, v'idach tov meikara osa tmura, v'idach tov meikara osa, tov meikara osa tmura, ra meikara ein osa tmura. And Rava says the second tov comes to tell you the same thing that Abaya told you. That the word tov that wasn't needed comes to tell you that when can you substitute bira for an animal that is a baal mum is only if it became a baal mum in the property of hekdesh, but it was not a baal mum from the very beginning. So really, Abaya and Rava are agreeing in all aspects of this halacha. Four of those six scenarios you can affect tamura, two of them you can't. What's the difference between Abaya and Rava? Rava uses a limud from a pasuk to tell you that you could get malchus if you substitute a good animal for a good animal. Nothing to do with baal mumim here. A regular unblemished animal for a regular unblemished animal. Rava says, I need a pasuk. Abaya doesn't use a pasuk. Abaya only discusses the tov bera, or in other words, he doesn't discuss a case of tov betov. So that's the difference between Rava and Abaya. Rava needs a pasuk for that, and Abaya does it. So ask the Gemara, the Abaya, the Gersa of Abaya, Tov b'tov min nalon delo yomir. How does Abaya know that that you're not allowed to substitute a good one for a good one? Kasavar kavachomer hu. He understands, Abaya understands it to be a kavachomer. Uma tov b'rad ilui kama alilei laki. Tov betov the chiyadadi ninu lo kosher kein delaki. So Abaya says as follows: I don't need a pasuk to tell me that if I try to swap a good animal for a good animal, then I'm going to get malchus. Why? Because if I know that when someone who it tries to substitute a good animal for a baal mum, so Hekdesh is holding on to a baal mum, right? And the guy says, I don't like that Hekdesh has a baal mum. I'm going to bring in a non baal mum. I'm going to bring in a tamim animal, and I'm going to substitute it. If in that case you get malchus, when you're elevating what Hekdesh has, Hekdesh currently has a baal mum animal, and you're trying to bring in its place a tamim animal, where you're elevating Hekdesh's possession, if in that case you get malchus, then where you're just trying to bring in a comparable, an equal, you're bringing in a one good for another good, and you're not elevating anything for Hekdesh, surely in that case you're going to get malchus. So that's why Abaya says, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that, I know it from a kavachomer. So says the Gemara of Rava. So that seems like a pretty good kavachomer. So what's your problem? Why don't you learn from kavachomer? Why do you need the second tov to tell you this halacha? So Rava will tell you, ain onshin min adin. So we know this is a general concept we encounter many times, is that you can't give someone malchus, you can't punish someone based on a kavachomer. So in other words, kavachomer is good for learning many things, and you can learn out that something is an isser from a kavachomer, but you can't punish someone on something that's only learned from a kavachomer. So says Rava, I get your kavachomer, it's a good kavachomer, but ultimately if you want to give him malchus for attempting to do a substitution, even tov betov, you need a pasuk to tell you that you could do it, because ein onshin min adin. The Abaya, so ask the Gemara, wait a second, Abaya, you agree ein onshin min adin. They're not arguing about that, so why are you comfortable learning this out from a kavachomer? So Abaya amar lecha, one second, let's just see the gersa here. The Abaya, the Shita used the Gersa of Abaya, Savar, Hai Giloi Milsa Ba'almahu. That's a little more clear, or we could read it, the way it's written here. Amalacha, Halav Dinohu, this is not a Kavachomer, Mi Gara Tov Meira. So he says, is Tov any worse than Ra? So what's going on here? So the gears of the sheet is a little bit easier, where it says Hai Gilui Milso Ba'amahu. The basic answer that Abaya is giving is saying, this is not a kavachomer. When I say kavachomer, I don't literally mean a kavachomer. What it means is that in other words, kavachomer would be where you have one halacha and you're taking it and you're applying it to another. What Abaya is going to tell you is that when the pasuk says Tov Bara, right? So it, by definition, it's very, in other words, when you're trying to figure out what that means, it means Tov Bara and Tov Betov, because how is Tov any worse than Ra? So in other words, for Abaya, it's not a two-step. You learn one halacha, and then you're extending that to something else, and you're going to say you're going to give malchus. He says basically what the Torah is giving you is an example, and you need to understand that example. So the example that the Torah gives is Tov Bara. So you understand, if it's Tov Bara, then also Tov Betov. In other words, the very way you define the pasuk includes both. Now, obviously, this is a fairly fine distinction, which is why Abaya and Rava argue about it. But Abaya is basically saying, I don't need a second step to apply it. I define the words Tov Bara to mean Tov Bara or Tov Betov. And Rava says, no, Tov Bara means Tov Bara. If you want to learn Tov Betov, you got to bring a lima to learn it out. So, fine. So, Abaya and Rava argue about whether you need the second tov to darshan tov betov, but they're not arguing in the halacha, they're just arguing in how you know you get malchus. But as relates to our primary point, both Abaya, who has one tov available, and Rava, who had two but uses one for this point, they use the word tov to tell you that when can you substitute for a ra, for a baal mum, is only if that baal mum at some point was tov. At some point, it was a valid a karban that had kedushas aguf, and only then you did tamura, can tamura take effect. But if it never had kedushas aguf, and it only had kedushas damim, you wouldn't be able to do it. Both Rava and Abaya learned that out from the word tov. Okay.
Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, second medium line. Tana Rabbanan, lo yachlifenu b'shal acherim, v'lo yomer also b'shal atzmo. So, this goes to the point I referenced before. What's this business of lo yachlifenu v'lo yomer? In other words, it seems to be saying the same thing. Don't swap it, don't substitute it, don't change it, whatever it is, it's the same. So the Braisa tells you, when it says lo yachlifenu, it means a chiluf is to swap things out, right? So in other words, so therefore, what would be the case of chiluf if I'm trying to do a swapping with someone else's animal? So what might this look like? It would look like I have an animal that is a bamum, and you have an animal that is a tamim, and I say let's swap that. In other words, that you'll end up with a chulin animal, which would be my current carbon, and I'll end up with a tamim animal that's your current animal, but you're going to end up with a chulin thing, and I'm going to end up with a kaddish thing. So in other words, we're going to do a two-person swap. Versus yamir, it does not have necessarily that connotation of two sides. And the idea is that I'm trying to substitute my own animal. So that's what the Braisa says. Lo yachlifenu b'shal acherim, that when the pasuk says lo yachlifenu, that you shouldn't do a chiluf, means you shouldn't try and swap with another person's animal. And lo yamir also means that you shouldn't try and substitute one of your own animals for the animal that you have that's kadosh. So ask the Gemara, v'lichtov lo yachlifenu v'lo yboi lo yamir also. So the Gemara says, so why not write lo yachlifenu, and I won't need to say lo yamir also. In other words, because if I know you can't do it, Rashi takes for granted. Now, mind you, the Shita in the back learns this kasha and tarets differently, but we're not going to get into that. Rashi takes for granted that lo yachlifenu, Rashi says, he says, "The mi gara shel atmo mishal acherim." Because why is his animal any different than someone else's animal? So Rashi learns, and they talk about why it's not a kal v'chomer that onshin min aden. Okay, we don't have to get into it. The Gemara's question is, why not write la yachlifenu, which we're going to say includes that if you can't swap with someone else, for sure you can't swap your own animal. So we say e kasev hachi, that if it would have written this, hava mina, I might have thought, teitze zu v'tikane zu hu deti laki. Avo meimer de tavayu komaktesh luhu ema lo laki, komash malon. So we're going to say as follows, that really, what had it only written, lo yachli fenu, which implies for someone else, so I would understand that if I'm trying to do a swap, I'm trying to remove Kedusha from one animal and put it on another, which is what happens in a swap. That you can't do. But if I, in my own possession, wanted to do a tamura, and what would that look like? This tamura would be different than a swap. It would be where I'm saying, I have an animal that's a balmum. I want to switch. I don't like that it's a balmum. I want to switch my animal onto this other one, a tamura, and they both should be kadosh, right? So that, in other words, we might think that you're able to do. You can't swap it where one loses the kedusha and the other gets it. But what if I want both of them to be kadosh? So says the Gemara, kamash milan, by saying v'lo yamir also, it's telling you that you can't do that either. If you do that, that's going to be tamura, and you're going to be over on a lav, and you're going to get malchus for doing that. You're not allowed to do it. Now, mind you, we should understand this, that if I have an animal that has a mum, right? So what do? I'm poda it, and I bring a different animal in its place. But the point is, if you do it as a tamura, as opposed to doing a padiyah, as opposed to doing a redemption, if you try to do a swap, that doesn't work. And you not only does it, but even if I was trying to have that outcome, I was trying to say both of them should be kadosh, you're still going to be over, you're still going to get malchus by trying to do a tamura. And that's the chiddush of lo yomir also, as distinct from lo yachlifenu. So we see that lo yachlifenu, so therefore in the end what we're going to say is lo yachlifenu, you can't do a swap where you attempt to have the kedusha leave one and go on another, and the other one becomes kadosh, so you end up still with one animal that's kadosh and one animal that's chulin, and you just try to swap them. Not only is that tamura, but even if you try to do a swap in the sense where you're moving over the kedusha's carbon from one to the other through a swap, but they're both going to be kadosh, even that is tamura, and even if that was your intention, you're still going to get malchus. Says the Gemara, "Hai b'shal acherim hechi dami." So we've been talking about this idea that you can do tumura on someone else's animal, right? So that we say, lo yachlifenu, don't swap it with someone else's animal. So the Gemara wants to know, what does that mean? So, hi b'shalachirim hechidami. Inemo behemo dehegdish didei v'chulin da'amo. So it says, okay, so maybe what you're saying is you're going to do it on someone else's animal. I have an animal that's hektish. And I'm going to say that I'm going to swap it on someone else's animal, right? So ask the Gemara, mi mati makdish, can I do that? In other words, can I go and make Saeed's animal? In other words, I have a hektish animal. He has a chulin animal. And I'm going to say, oh, I did tumura. Now Saeed's animal is hektish. How does that work? Ish ki yaktish is beso kadosh lashem amrachmana ma beso bereshuso afko bereshuso. We've learned this lima before that it says when a man is makdish his house, what's the nature of someone's house? Is it's his? It's in his possession. So too, when anyone is makdish something, you can only be makdish something that actually belongs to you. So how can I? In other words, when it says I'm swapping my animal, I'm doing tumura on someone else's animal. How can I do tumura? My hektish animal should go onto Saeed's animal. What right do I have to make his animal hektish? That doesn't work. So ve'ela behemah dehektish ta'alma v'chulin didei. So maybe it means that if Saeed has a hektish animal and I have a chulin animal, then I'm going to do tumura where I'm going to try and swap my animal for his animal, and then it's going to be tumura. So my animal is going to become kadosh with kedushas of the kedusha of tumura. So ask the Gemara, mi matvis b'davar sheina shalom. So he says, but do I have a right to grab on to the kedusha of Saeed's animal? I don't have that right. So the Achronim discussed this a lot. Is exactly what? Why not? In other words, why can't I use his animal to make my animal kadosh? So different answers, but the Kavner Rav says one as follows: that basically, how does tumura work? Tumura works that I am going to do a swap, and the kedusha is going to leave animal A and go onto animal B. It happens to be that the Torah tells you it doesn't work. But in other words, the model of tumura has to be where I am going to remove kedusha from one animal and put it on another, at which point the Torah says, okay, nice try, but it doesn't work. But I have to be able to do that basic transaction. So if Saeed has an animal that he was makdish, and I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to transfer his kedusha from his animal to my animal, right? I can't do that. Well, then he's going to end up with an animal with no kedusha, and I'm going to have an animal with kedusha. Of course I can't do that. So that's how he understands the basic transaction of tumura has to be where theoretically I could move the kedusha from A to B. If I don't own A, I can't make someone else's animal lose its kedusha. So therefore, if it's not structured in that classic case of tumura, I wouldn't be able to do it. So that's what the Gemara is saying, even though we know tumura doesn't work. So once we know tumura doesn't work, I might have said to myself, well, what's the big deal? I use Saeed's animal in order to make my animal kadosh. We say, no, the only time that you could have huvu tumurasu yiyah kodesh is if the primary structure was there, where if not for the fact that the Torah said I can't do it, I would have removed the kedusha from A and moved it on to B, then obviously I can't do that on Saeed's animal because it's his, and it's not mine, and I can't remove kedusha from davar sheina shelo. So now we're stuck. So we're talking about, we made a drasha in the brisa that lo yachli feno means that you shouldn't swap it with someone else. But what does that mean, swap it with someone else? I can't make his animal kadosh, and I can't make my animal kadosh. So what case are we talking about? So the Gemara says, "Olam behemo dehektish da'alma v'chulin didei." Really, we're talking about the case where someone else has a hektish animal, like Saeed, and I have chulin. Kegon da'amer mare debehemo dehektish kol arotz elaham rebehemto yavoy ve'yamir. So what's the case where I'm able to do this? Where I would be able to do it, but the Torah tells me I can't do it, I'm not allowed to do it, and if I do it, huvu tumurasu yiyah kodesh is talking about where Saeed would say, look, I have this animal that's hektish, anyone who wants to use my animal of hektish to do tumura, you're welcome to do it, right? So okay, in that case, I have reshus from Saeed to use his animal in this transaction, and since it anyway isn't going to happen, so all that would happen is Saeed's animal would stay kadosh and my animal would become kadosh. So says the Torah, lo yachlifenu, you're not allowed to do that. And if you do it, meaning once I have Saeed's reshus and I do it, it will be effective, hu tmarasa yiyah kodesh, but I'm going to be over on a lav. So when the Brisa says you can't swap with someone else, it has to be a case where I'm trying to swap someone else's kedusha onto mine with his rishos. And that's the case that we're dealing with. Okay, says the Mishnah. Mamrin echad b'shnayim u'shnayim be'echad. So we say as mamirin echad b'shnayim u'shnayim be'echad. That I could do tamura where I try to substitute one animal for two. So you have two animals that are kadosh, and I try to say, here, I'm going to substitute my animal for these two. What happens? All three are kadosh. The two that were kadosh and the one that I did becomes more. Ushnayim be'echad. And similarly, if I try to give two animals to hektish in exchange for one that's hektish, again, all three become kadosh. Echad be'meo, mea be'echad. And similarly, one for 100, 100 for one. It doesn't matter. As many as you're going to try and do, it doesn't need to be a one-to-one relationship, and you affect tmura with this transaction. Rav Shimon says, "Ema mirin ela echad be'echad." Sorry, this tmura is a one-to-one relationship. You're going to try to affect to swap kedusha from A to B or B to A. So then it's tmura. If you try to do A to B and C or A to B C D E F and G, it doesn't work. Shenemar, well, how do I know that that transaction would not work according to Rav Shimon? Says the Mishnah says because the pasuk tells us v'haya hu tumuraso yakodesh, that it that animal utumuraso and its tumura its swap will be kadosh. Mahu miyochad afim miyuchedes. So it says just like, in other words, hu utumuraso, he and his swap are implies singular. So it has to be a one-for-one relationship according to Rabbi Shimon. According to the Tanakhama, it's not necessary to be a one-to-one relationship, but it could be a one-to-many or many-to-one. Says the Gemara Minani Mili, how do I know this halacha of the Tanakhama? The Tan Rabbanan, bebehema, bebehema. Behema, I'm sorry, behema, bebehema. We learned those words before. It says that, and presumably they're extra, that an animal for another animal, mikan shememirin echad bebeiz ubeiz beechad echad bemeo mea beechad. Then from here I see you could do 1 to 2, 2 to 1, 1 to 100, 100 to 1. So what's going on here? The Tanakhama is understanding behema is, while it's generally a singular term, can also mean multiple behemas. So when it says behema to behema, it could mean multiple to multiple, multiple to one, one to multiple, doesn't matter. Rabbi Shimon says, Ema mirim ela echa be'echad. You can only do 1 to 1. Shenamar, as it's written, behema be'behema, v'lo behema be'behemos, v'lo behemos be'behema. So Rabbi Shimon says, what are you talking about? Behema means a singular animal. So when it says behema be'behema, it means 1 to 1, not 1 to, if it wanted to be 1 to many, it would say behema be'behemos, and if it wanted to say many to one, it would say behemos be'behema. But it doesn't say that. So therefore, you can only do 1 to 1. I don't want you to see the girsa here. Amrulo. So they said back to him, the Tanakhama said back to Rav Shimon, Matsinu behema shekruya behema. Sorry, I'm right, because I tell you that behema means plural, because I'll show you a source where behema means multiple behema. Shenemar, it says, behema rabba. So this is the pasuk we know when Yonah was complaining to the Ribbono Shel Olam that he was going to save Nineveh, right? So the pasuk says, "Vanilo yachas on Nineveh ayir agdola asher yesh bo harbe mishteim eser yibu adam asher lo yada ben yamina l'smala." The Ribbono Shel Olam says there's so many people there, don't know their right from their left. Ubehema rabba, and lots of behema. So what do you see? You see that uses the singular term behema to mean many behemos. So you see that behema could be behemos. Rabbi Shimon, so what would Rabbi Shimon say about that source from Yonah? He would tell you, behema rabba ikri, behema stam lo ikri. He says, when it says behema rabba, by context, you figure out it means many behemos. But if you just write behema, it doesn't mean. So in other words, whereas the Tanakhama took that to be a paradigm for other cases, you see from behema rabba must mean plural behemos. So therefore, anytime it says behema could mean behemos, and therefore behema be behema could mean many to many. And Rav Shimon is going to say, no, where it says behema rabba, it's obviously forcing behema to be plural, but doesn't mean you can apply to other contexts that the behema should be plural. Okay, so now the Gemara has a question, because in this brisa, Rav Shimon explained that his source for 1 to 1 is because it says behema be behema, which means 1 to 1. But hold on a second, in the Mishnah, he gave a different reason, which was hu utmuraso yakodesh. Hu and tmuraso is again 1 to 1, singular to singular. So which is it? So says the Gemara, b'taima de Rabbi Shimon mishum behemo hu, is the reason because behemo means singular behema. V'taima de Rabbi Shimon mishum hu, mahu miyochad af tmurum yuchedes. So, but in the Mishnah, we bring a different reason, which is because hu utumuraso is implied singular. So the Gemara says, meikara amarlan Rabbi Shimon min vahayo hu utumuraso. Initially, Rabbi Shimon, in the Mishnah, you said to Rabbi Shimon, look, it could be many to many, one to many, many to one. Rabbi Shimon says, hold on, hu utumuraso yia kodesh. So it can't. So then what happened? So then they got into more detail. And he says, well, Rabbanan, what's your Tanakama? What's your reason? So you see in the Braisa, they said to him, the reason is because Behema could be plural. To which he said, Amr Lahem, Iu Mehasam Nami Matina Lamelev Time Didi. So he said, okay, if it's Behema, okay, I was learning it to Hu Tumarasa Yakodesh, but I could learn it from your same Limud, because you're trying to say Behema means plural, Behema doesn't mean plural, it means singular. So he's like, I don't care, I could learn it the way I initially learned it. Once you tell me you're learning it from Behema, I'll tell you, I argue on that too. Not only because Hu Tumarasa Yakodesh, but also because Behema can only mean singular with singular. Okay, so now we're going to get into the following. Amarei Shlakish. Moder Rabbi Shimon, Shemamirim v'chozen Ramirim. So according to Reish Lakish, that while Rabbi Shimon tells us that it needs to be a one-to-one relationship, that means that each transaction needs to be a one-to-one relationship. So if I have an Ola, and I have animal A, my Ola, I try to swap it on animal B, so what happens? Animal B becomes Kadosh. Okay, transaction finished. I now take my same Ola A, and I try to swap it on C. So what happens? C becomes Kadosh. So according to Reish Lakish, you could be Meimir, V'chozer, Meimir. While it's true that one animal in one shot cannot do Tmura on multiple other animals, A can't do B and C at the same time, but A could do B, and then C, and then D, and then E, even according to Rabbi Shimon. That's Reish Lakish's opinion. My Taima, what's the reason? Kedusha Yishayin the Hektish Lehechon Holcho. Because look, at the end of the day, it's the same issue. My animal A is an Ola. So if I try to do it on B, B becomes Kaddish. If I do it on C, C becomes Kaddish, because my Ola is still an Ola. That's Reish Lakish's view. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, Kishem She'em Amirim Bebeiz Be'echor, Kach Em Amirim Chazinim Amirim. That just like you can't do 1 to 2 or 2 to 1 according to Reb Shimon, so you can't do A on B and then on C and then on D, because the net effect is you're doing tamura on a 1-to-multiple relationship. So therefore, it's a machlokes in Reb Shimon. According to Reb Shimon, who we don't paskin like, mind you, but according to Reb Shimon, who says that you can't do a 1-to-many relationship, is that 1-to-many at the same time, but serially you can do them? Or do we say, no, you just have a one-to-one relationship. A can do onto B. Once it does on B, your ability to do tamura is gone. And if you would try to do tamura A on C after you already did B, then C would not become kadosh because you've run out of your tamura capacity. So, says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasi to Rabbi Yochanan, Tanya Kavasi to Reish Lakish. We learn like Rabbi Yochanan, we learn like Reish Lakish, that each of them has a brisa supporting them. Tanya Kavasi to Rabbi Yochanan, we learn the brisa like Rabbi Yochanan, that the brisa says, Kishem Sheim Amirin Echo B'Shnayim, Kach Eim Amirin Mechozunim Amirin. So we see a brisa that says, just like that you can't be Meimer 1-to-many, 1-to-2, so too, you can't do them serially. The fact that you do them sequentially as opposed to at the same time doesn't make a difference. Tanya Kavasi to Reish Lakish, we learned a different brisa like Reish Lakish, which says, Yachol Kishem Sheim Shimon Eim Amirin Shnayim Be'echo Kach Eim Amirin Mechozunim Amirin. Just, you might think that just like Reb Shimon said, that you can't go 1-to-2, that so too, you can't do 1-to-1 and then another and serially, sequentially to get them. I might think that Reb Shimon asers both multiple at a time and sequentially. That you could do even 100 as long as you do them sequentially. A and then B and then C and then D and then E. So what do you see? You see two brises, one like Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Shimon and one like Reish Lakish's understanding of Rabbi Shimon. So now, the Gemara is going to ask as follows. Abai Rav Avin. L'divrei ha'omer eim amirim chodrim amirim. According to the view that Rabbi Shimon not only prohibits one on many at the same time, but he prohibits them sequentially. And so the basic idea is, in the ordinary course, you have one shot at doing tamura. If A, and you try to do it on B, B becomes a tamura. C, D, E, nothing's happening. Your hektish animal has capacity to do one tamura, to affect one tamura. So this, Rav Avin is going to ask the following question. According to the view that you only get one shot, what happens in the following case? A little bit of a complicated case. Hifrish asham leskaper bo. So what happened? I needed to bring an asham. Okay, so I was mafrish in asham in order, for whatever reason, I needed an asham. Vahamir bo. and then I do tamura. Okay, so I had animal A, asham. I do animal B, tamura. So now animal B becomes a tamura. Now, vahumam. So now animal B got a mum. We're on amma bays. So what do I need to do? So in other words, so what do I need to do? What do I need to do with this? So when you get an animal that becomes a mum, that's kadosh. V'chilalo al acher, and I was mechalal it on another. So I did proper chilal. V'nis kaper ba'asham acher. Okay, so now this gets even more complicated. So basically, I designated an asham. I did tamura. Now that tamura animal went away. We're not focused on the tamura animal anymore. So what happened? I had A and B became kadosh. I'm ignoring B at this point. Now what happens to A? A, my initial asham, which is still my asham, right? Because nothing changed when I tried to do tamura. It now gets a mum, right? So vuhumam v'chilul al acher. So now what happens when my asham gets a mum? I need to be mechalal it. I need to make it chulin, and then I'm going to need to bring another animal. So I bring C, right? So now what happens? V'niskaper ba'asham acher. So he says, so now I have C, which I'm supposed to bring as an asham. But what happens? I lose C. Okay? Some C gets lost. And now I do my asham, carbon on D. Okay? But now what happens? V'niskaper ba'asham acher. So I get kapara through another asham through D. V'nitik la'ola. But what happened? Now we found animal A. So we went back to having animal A. And so what was animal A? We know that if someone had an asham and it got lost and you brought a different animal, what happens to A? It becomes an ola. V'nitak ola became a ola. Mahu sheyamir bo. What's the halacha about whether I should be able to do tamura? So let me explain what we're trying to get at, and hopefully it'll make this the whole gemara easier here. The idea is the following. We say you have one shot at doing tamura, right? So that's why if you do A to B, B becomes kadosh, C, D, E, doesn't matter. What the Gemara is exploring here is what happens if there's a change, a change in where at some level it got its kedusha in a different way, and therefore does it renew the ability to do tamura again? Okay? Now, I'm going to go really out of order. Because I hope it makes it easier. I'm going to get into what the Gemara says later. So I'll give you two scenarios, because really what Rav Oven asks mixes these two scenarios. One would be the following, a simple case. I have an asham, A. I do tamura on it, so B becomes kadosh. Now A gets a mum, right? So now I bring in animal C, right? So animal C replaced animal A. Okay, now animal A had already used up its tamura capacity because it had made B into a tamura already. So the question we're now dealing with is C, which is a brand new animal, but where did it get its kedusha? It got its kedusha from A because A was the asham, it got a mum, and I made C. So C came, its kedusha came from A. So the question you would ask is, can C do a tamura because it's a brand new animal? There was never a tamura done with C. Or do you say, look, at the end of the day, C gets its kedusha from A. A already did tamura, which is how we created B. So C can't do tamura either. That would be one question. Or I'll give you another example. What happens if you have an asham, A? I do tamura, so it becomes B. And now A gets lost. So what do? I bring C, I'm makrevit, I'm now finished my asham business. And what happens? We find A. So what's the halacha? A is an ola. So do we say, look, A already did tamura in the beginning. It made B. So now it can't make D into a kadosh. Or do you say that, look, at the end of the day, A, when it did tamura, was an asham. Now A became an ola. So maybe it renews its ability to do it. So those would be two scenarios where you could ask this question. Rabbi Oven is mixing all of these together. So he's saying, if I designated an asham, that's my A carbon, I did tamura on B, then A got a mum, so I designated C, okay? And then what happened? I lost C, and I did the carbon with D. And now that I did the carbon with D, we found C, and the question becomes, so what happens to C? So C becomes an ola, So A and C never had tumura done on it because the only tumura was done on A. So the question is, I now have a new body, meaning the kedusha of A shifted body, the kedusha of the ashram shifted bodies from A to C. And not only that, but C shifted from becoming an ashram to becoming an ola. So Rav Avin is asking, if it's had these two total dramatic shifts in its nature, it's no longer the same animal as A, and it's no longer the same kind of carbon as A, does it renew the ability to do tumura, in which case I should be able to make E into a tumura? That's Rav Avin's question. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaya, my kami boile. He says, why are you making this so complicated? You're mixing everything up here. He says, E beis gufim kedusha achas tiboile, E beis gufim kedusha achas tiboile belomas kaper. So he says, do it the way I first said, which is, it's an ashram, you make a tumura, the original gets a mum, right? So then the question is, so therefore you bring C to replace A because A got a mum, can you do tumura on C? Or do you say, because tumura, C got its kedusha from A, you can't? Or do you say, C is a different body than A, so you can? So that's one simple question. E beis kedusha v'govecha tiboile below humam. Or, if you want to talk about two different types of kedusha, meaning that it was an asham and an ola, so then make a simple case. Don't forget the mum. Just say that I had an asham, I did tumura, the original got lost, so I brought C, did the carbon. A, which already did tumura once, has converted from an ashram to an ola. Does converting from an ashram to an ola change it? So the Gemara says, you're right. That's actually what's going on. Rav Avin, chada migai chada kami baile. That really, Rav Avin was asking those questions as two separate questions. The im timsi lomer shnei gufim kedusha achas lo mishum da bahi kedusha da bahu kedusha. I'm sorry, one second. Let's just see the gersa. So he says, or Amar ba, Isamer ba chada zimna, shnei gufin shnei kedushas mahu teiku. So the Gemara says, you're right, this is exactly what Rav Avin was asking. Rav Avin was asking, what happens if I had an animal that I ended up bringing C instead of A because A got a mum, what happens? Or if A ends up being an ola after it already done tumura, am I able to make B a thing? And if you're going to tell me that in the case of one, it's insufficient to give it a chance of being able to do tumura again because its tumura capacity was used up, what happens if you have both? Not only is it not the same animal, but it doesn't have the same the din. It's no longer an asham. It became an ola. So that, Rav Avin is saying, if you're going to tell me that one change is not enough, what if I have two changes? Does that give me the capacity to make a tumur again? To which the Gemara answers, teiku. Lishnachrina. So the way we're understanding this first lashon is, Rav Avin asks two simple cases, and then he says, okay, and if you're going to tell me the simple cases aren't enough, then I'll ask you the compound case. So that's why Rav Avin was so complicated. That's the first version. Lishna Achrina, another language, by Rav Avin l'Rav Yochanan. Rav Avin asked the question, l'Rav Yochanan d'amrei mamirin v'chadun mamirin, according to Rav Yochanan, who's of the opinion that Rabbi Shimon's halacha is that you cannot sequentially do a behema tumura, so therefore you have a one shot at tumura. According to that, what happens? Hifrish asham li ischaper bo, that you create an asham, that's animal A. Vahamir bo, you create animal B. Vahumam, and A gets a mum, and therefore you designate C. Vechilala acher, that's you get C. Mao she yachsir viyamir. So he says, what, can you go ahead and do tumura at this point? So meaning, because the A's kedusha has now shifted to C, do you renew the ability to do tumura? Or says the Gemara, inami niskaper ba'asham echad, that or the second case niskaper ba'asham echad, where niskaper ba'asham acher. Conversely, what happens if it's the second case where it's I have an asham A, I do a tumura that creates B, the A gets lost, we bring C gets offered up as an asham, A now gets found, and A is an ola, is that enough of a change? So this lashon has it, in other words, before we had it, where Rav Avin starts with asking a compound question, and we say, why do you get so complicated? Here, it starts with the Rav Avin asking, and Rashi says this is the Girsa of the Yerushalmi, that here it starts with Rav Avin actually asking two different questions, two simple cases, not the compound case. Amar Abaya, Abaya said to him, said, Dain kami bai, or hi kami bai le. So he says, kami bai le, kedusha acheres bosa guf, loni bai humam vechilo. I'm sorry, 1 second. Hi kami bai le, which one are you asking me? Why, in other words, kedusha acheres bosa guf. So if you're telling me that, that it got another kedusha, meaning that you had an usham that became a ola, no, lo ni bai humam. V'chilo, don't ask me the case of where it got a mum. V'chilo b'acher, don't ask me a case of where it got a mum. I guf echad ba'osa kedusha. So, and if you're telling me, so lo ni bai neskaper ba'asham acher. So he says, so in other words, don't mix these cases. So the question that's going on now is according to the Yerushalmi's Girsa, that the Reb Avin asked two separate questions, to which Abaya said, look, at the end of the day, one of these questions is more important than the other. How Abaya knew that, I don't know. But in other words, Abaya knew that one is the critical question and one is the lesser question. So therefore, why not phrase them in that order? So we say as follows, Rabbi Avin, chada migoy, chada kami baile. So we're saying, no, you're right, that Rabbi Avin was asking a sequential question. And what are we going to say? Basically, what the Gemara is going to say is that Rabbi Avin considered the bigger chiddush, the one that's more likely to create the capacity to renew the capacity for tumura. Get ready for this. According to this girsa, that the bigger chiddush is when A, which already created B, becomes an ola. So for whatever reason, Reb Avin considered that the more primary case. So the Gemara is explaining that what was he asking? He was saying as follows: Humam v'chilala acher ma'ushi yachzer v'yomer. So he says, I'm going to start with the simpler case, where it's less likely to force me to do tumura, which was less likely to afford me the opportunity to do tumura again, which is what? Where the animal A became got a mum, v'chilo acher, and you brought animal C, ma'u sheyachzer v'yomer, what's the, on earth, can C create a tumura? Mi'am rinam ba'ashem rishon hudein chozer meimer abu b'guf acher, the afagav de kadesh oso kedusha chozer meimer. So he says, so do we say that it's only A that can't do tumura anymore. But So he says as follows: do I say that since it has switched bodies, A has gone to C? Now, granted, C gets its kedusha from A, but it's a different body. So, do I say that therefore C can do tumura, or since kolba osa kedusha, A and C were both ashams? So then at the end of the day, it's in the same kedusha, so you don't renew the ability to do tumura. According to this gear, so we're saying that that's the easier question according to Rabbi Avin, because in other words, that's more likely that you're going to tell me that I can't do tumura. V'im tim selamer, hadein guf acher, I believe is the gear, so hadein guf acher, kivan de ba'osa kedusha koim ein chozer meimer, el neskaper ba'asham acher. So I'm sorry. The kivan the ba'osa kedusha koyim ein chozer meimir. And if you're going to tell me that when C who got its kedusha from A that got a mum cannot go ahead and do it because it's still in the kedusha of an asham, elan eskaper ba'asham acher v'nitik zerishin la'olam ma'u sheyachzer v'yamar bo. So he says, but what would happen in the case, which to him was the bigger chiddush, the one that is more likely that you should be able to renew the tumura capability? What would happen if A got lost, C got offered, A now became an ola, can you do it? Mi amrinan ki ein meimir, v'chozer meimir, then when do we say you can't go back and do a tumura twice? Hani milu osa guf, osa kedusha. That would be with that guf and that kedusha, meaning where A is the same animal that did tumura already, and it is an asham. Aval osa guf, kedusha acher, is chozer meimir, but if A would have assumed the status of an ola, does that change it? Odilma afal kedusha acheres kivin da osa guf hu ein chozer meimer. Or do you say that even when you have another kedusha, since that that guf who since it's the same body, ein chozer meimer teku? So we're left off with the teku. So where what have we done here? We basically, according to the first the whole first lashon, we had a we had a compound question. And we said, why do you make it so complicated? And he said, no, you're right. He was asking them individually, and then he was saying, if individually they're not enough to create a new opportunity for Tumura, what happens if you combine all the cases and give that compound complicated case? Do you have the ability to create Tumura? To that, we say Teiku. According to the Yerushalmi's version, that what happened was he asked two separate questions, and Abaya said to him, one second. One is a primary question. One is a secondary question. One is more of a chiddush than the other, or more likely to produce the capacity to do another tumura. So according to that, so we said you're right that the so he was asking the question sequentially. He asked the lesser chiddush first. What happens if A's kedusha shifted to C? Can he do tumura? And we say, let's say he cannot do tumura because at the end of the day, the kedusha of C came from A. What happens if we're still in A and it gets the kedusha of an ola? To which we say, that's the bigger question, to which we say teku. So according to that scenario, we never addressed the compound question, right? So according to this, the presumably the compound question, if you combine them both, then you would say that in fact you can do tumura. So a difference between the first lashon and the second lashon is that in the first lashon we're left off with a teku in the compound case. In the second question, we have a lesser question and a bigger question. We'll leave off with the teku, but presumably if you did them both, it would, if you did them both as a compound, then it would in fact renew the opportunity to do tumura. Alright, so now we're gonna go through this next one quickly. It's basically the exact same, sequence, but dealing with a different halacha. So, Amr Rishu ben Levi, Rishu ben Levi says as follows, Hektish Rison Mosiv Chomish, Vein Hektish Sheni Mosiv Chomish. So we're gonna say as follows. That if, on earth we know, that if someone is makdish something, and he has to redeem it, the owner, then he has to pay chomish, right? So what would be an example of this? I'm makdish an animal, the animal gets a mum, right? So I need to be podet. So how does it work? I'm podet. If it's a $100 animal, I pay $125, and I'm podet. I have to pay a fifth. Stam, if I'm makdish this table, and the table's worth $100, I have to pay hektish $125 to get it out. That's hektish rishon. What's Hektish Sheni? Hektish Sheni, we're going to come up with a third scenario of Hektish Sheni. Maybe we'll have time to explain it, maybe we won't. The Hektish Sheni is that the animal is used to redeem a mum animal. So what happens? So I had an animal that got a mum. I made a carbon, it got a mum. I gave an animal that was worth 125% of that animal. So I gave another mum animal to replace the first mum animal. So in that case, when it comes, so then obviously what do I need to do with the second animal? I need to be podet. In that case, you don't need to pay, the extra chomesh. Or, for example, where you did tamura. So let's say I had an animal A, I did tamura and B became kadosh. If I'm gonna be podet B, then I don't have to pay a chomish on B. On A, I need to pay a chomish, but on B, I don't need to pay a chomish because it's hektish sheni. It was not initially made hektish. So now, the question. So we're going to say as follows: hektish rishon mosav chomish, vein hektish sheni mosav chomish. That's Rabbi Shuben Levi's halacha. Amr Papa, my time with Rabbi Shuben Levi. What's Rabbi Shuben Levi's reason? Amr Kar, the pasuk says, "V'im hamaktish yigal es beisov v'yosef chamishes." That it says that if the person who was maktish his house, it redeems it, he pays a fifth. Makdish v'lo hamatzfis. So it's the property that he was actually makdish it, not where the kedusha was tofis on it. So if, for example, a tamura is a good example, the kedusha of A transferred to B. I was not makdish B. I was makdish A. I then did something that caused the kedusha of A to be matfis on B. So Rabbi Shuben Levi says, in that case, I don't pay a chomesh on the tamura. I only pay a chomesh on the first one. To which, boy, Rav Avin. So Rav Avin is going to ask exactly the same question. He's going to give the same scenario, and what he's going to try and figure out is if you switch bodies or if you switch designations, does it shift the status of the animal enough that if you're going to be pulled to this animal, it now moves it from Hektish Sheni to Hektish Rishon? So that's going to be, it's going to be the same question. Before we were dealing with, does a change in the behemah renew the one-time ability to make a tumura? And now we're going to say, does a change in the animal, either in its body or in its designation or both, does it change it from hektish sheni to be hektish rishon? So I'll try to go through this quickly because it's really the same thing. There is some nuance, but maybe we'll skip over nuance. Boy, Reb Avin. Reb Avin asked the question as follows. Hifrish asham leskaper bo. I was mafrish animal A to do kapara with it. Vuhumam, and it got a mum. Vahosav alav chomesh v'chililo. I'm sorry. And in this process, he also did tumura. And, okay. A made B, but now A got a mum. Vahosav alav chomesh v'chililo. Al chavero is probably, let's just see the girsa. Al acher on another one. So then what happened? So A made B, and then afterwards A got a mum, and he paid chomish on A, and now there's C. Now what happened? V'niskaper ba'asham acher, v'nitik zeh lo'ola. And then what happened? C got lost, D got offered, now C went from becoming an asham to becoming an ola. Ma'u sheyosef alav chomish. What's the deal? Do I have to pay a chomesh if C were to get a mum now, am I going to have to pay chomesh again? So what's the argument that I don't have to pay chomesh? Because C came from A. So therefore, A already paid a chomesh, so you don't pay chomesh a second time. Or do you say that, look, C is a different animal than A, it got shifted from being an asham, ceased to being an asham because you offered D and it became an ola. So this is the compound question. Do I need to, if I'm podes C, do I pay chomesh a second time? Amar Abaya, my kami boile. He says, why are you making so complicated? Ishne gufim kedusha achas kami boile to boile below neskaper. He says, if you're trying to talk about where there's A and C as two different bodies, then don't become busy with shifting to an ola. Ishne kedushos, and if you're trying to figure out the status of an animal that switched from being an asham to nola, tiboy below humam, forget the whole thing about becoming a mum. A got lost, C got offered, A became an ola. What's the halacha? Do you pay chomesh on A? So the Gemara says, Reb Avin, chadami gai chada kami baile. So we answer, no. Reb Avin was in fact asking the questions as two separate questions. And to which he said, after he asked the two separate questions, he says, Intim Sulam Shnegovan Kadush Achas, Lo Misham Dvahi Kadusha Itosa Bachadazimna, Chadazimna Chomesh, Shnegovan Shte Kadushos Mai. So he said, I was asking the basic question, what happens if you have an asham and you do a tumura and then it got a mum, do you pay chomesh a second time? I was also asking the basic question, if you had an asham and it was a tumura and then the original got lost and A became an ola, what's the halacha then? And then I said, and if you're going to tell me that that's not sufficient to create if neither of those instances is sufficient to create a new chiyuv to pay the chomesh twice, then I would tell you what happens if we compound the cases. A Kedusha shifted to C. C then became an Ola. So it's no longer the same body and it's no longer the same halacha that made the chomesh the first time. What's the halacha in a compound case? Teiku, we don't know. So therefore, in a compound case, we don't know the halacha. Continues the Gemara, Lishnachrina, I'll bring you the Yerushalmi's Girsa according to Rashi. Boy, Rebbe Avin asks as follows. He asks them as separate questions. Hifrish asham leskaper bo. I designated A in order to do kapara. V'humam, it got a mum. V'chililo al acher. And I went ahead and I paid the v'hosef chomesh, and I paid the fifth on A. So I already paid chomesh once. And then what happened? Niskapru ba'asham acher. V'nitak zelo ola. And then this case went on and became an ola. Ma'u sheyosef alav chomesh. What is the halacha that brings a chomesh? So I think the gears, hold on one second. We have to follow the, v'yamir. Okay, say as v'yamir, which I said, v'hosif, okay, one second. V'hosif chomesh, ma'u sheyachsev yosef chomesh, or niskapru ba'asham. So in other words, basically what's happening here, which parallels the first one, so the shita adjusts the girsa, where he asked this as two separate questions, and he asked, in either of these instances, where either the body has shifted or the din has shifted, ma'u sheyosef lav chomesh. Amar Abaya says to him, So Abaya says, Hadein kami baile, I kedusha acher esposa aguf kami baile, loni baile humam, I guf acher bausa kedusha v'chilo acher, Moshe Yosef alav chomesh. So we say as follows. So he says, one of these is gonna be primary. So he said the same thing. So you're right. I'm going to, and he said that one of them has to be primary. So we say, Amrinam ba'ashem kamo hu de Mosef, avu b'guf echad, afagav de kaim ba'osa kedusha, ain, the Mosef chomesh. The shita doesn't take that thing. O dilma kolosa kedusha ain't a Mosef chomesh. So we're going to say as follows that, and I'm going to read it quickly, but then I'll explain it. V'yem tim salam, and if you're going to say hadein gufa echa acher kiven the mosav kedusha koyim mosav chomesh el neskaper ba'echad ba'acher v'nitak zel olam mahu ki mosav chomesh ba'osav aguf ba'osav kedusha avu kedusha acher is lo odilma kiven the mosav aguf who mosav chomesh teiku. So what we're going to go through this very quickly, but it's the same idea that according to this second girsa of the Yerushalmi, that Reb Avin asked it as independent questions. And then Abaye said, well, one of them is a primary and one of them is a secondary question. So he said, you're right. So I'm going to ask you the lesser chiddush first, which is what happens if the animal shifted from A to C, and C is the one that you now need to be poda. In that case, do you say that since A got its kedusha, C got its kedusha from A, and A already did a pedia as hektish rishon, that this is considered hektish sheni, and he does not pay the chomesh? Or do you say that, look, at the end of the day, A is a different animal than C, and therefore C, you have to pay the chomesh again? That was the easier question. And then he said, and if you're going to tell me that that's not enough of a shift, to shift from A to C is not enough of a shift to make it into hektish sheni, to make it into hektish rishon, and you only pay one chomesh, what happens if you shifted from a ashram to an ola, which Abaya considered to be the bigger, the case that was more likely to make you pay a chomesh? So to that, I'm sorry, so the first case you would, let's say you do not pay a chomesh, what happens if it shifted from so A, that you had a case where A was an asham, A got lost, C got offered, A turned into an ola, at this point Abaye considers that, Reb Avin considers that more likely that maybe here in this case you're gonna pay a chomesh. So do you pay a chomesh in the second case? To which we say, teiku. So therefore, according to the first version, Reb Avin asked it as, each one individually, and he said, and if you're going to tell me that that's not enough to pay chomesh, what happens if you combine them all? So then we leave off teiku on that question. According to the second girsa, the Yerushalmi's girsa, what we're doing instead is we're asking them as independent questions. Abaye says, look, which one of those is ikker and which one of those is tuffles? They said, okay, that the easier question, the one that you're going to say is not likely that it shifts it from hektish rishon to being, that it shifts it from hektish sheni to being hektish rishon, is the case where it shifted bodies from A to C. That would not be enough to make you pay a chomesh. Or if you're going to tell me it's not enough to make you pay a chomesh, then what about if A shifted from being an asham to being an ola, do you make him pay the chomesh? To which case we said teiku. So in the more significant case, we don't know the answer, but it doesn't discuss compound. And if it will be the compound case, presumably the halacha would be that you would be mosef a chomesh.